blessings and peace on you, as Pastor Troy would say. Clearly, I am not Pastor Troy. He is actually off at Redemption Ranch for the annual dove hunt. So I am filling his seat. It is tough shoes to fill. I'm not going to lie. There he is. He's out having fun. I might be a tad nervous sitting here in his seat. It's you know, the pulse, like this is a really special thing we get to do each week. So I don't take that lightly, but thank you so much for joining us today. I am Shay Wilbur. If you don't know who I am, I'm a little bit new around here. I've been here for about a month now, but I'm the new media director here at Open Door Church and TBM. And I just help come alongside all the various ministries that we have here in media. So the ladies are holding it down today. We're very excited to be here. Let's just do a little go around the table moment. We have the lovely Rebecca Tamayo joining us.
How is everyone doing?
I'm good. I'm great.
It's raining, but we're here.
Hat day.
And we look good.
Yeah. All that matters. We've got the lovely lighting today helping us out. And the hats, because the hair is frizzy.
Yeah.
We have the one and only Miss Connie Jenkins, which I'm so excited to have her back.
Hey, everybody. I have my hat, too.
She does.
I couldn't
wear
it.
The cutest of all hats.
I know.
Put it on. Let everybody see.
I know.
I can put it like
there you go.
It kind of could work. I don't know. One. They need to make like new headphones that are conducive to hats like that for us ladies.
In Texas, especially.
Yeah. Yes. It really is. And last but not least, we have the mother of the house, our mentor, our friend. Good we morning. Love her so much.
Yes.
Pastor Leanna. Yay. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes. Thanks for inviting me.
I mean, it's a really busy week for you. Do you hear the crowd cheering?
I do. I'm so excited. Yes.
It's such a busy week for you. Not only do we have the women's conference going on here at Open Door Church, but we also have something very special.
We do.
It's happening this weekend.
We do.
Yeah. What
we
is
do.
It?
We do. We have the launch of my book, Sea Shepherd, finally.
Oh my gosh. I am so excited. I've gotten some like sneak previews of your book. And I cannot wait for everyone to check it out. You're actually going to be doing book signings here during the women's conference. Mm-hmm. So we'll be posting information all about that. But I mean, this is a perfect time to have you on the show.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It was... Yeah, when we asked me yesterday, I knew he wasn't going to come back from the dove hunt because I know him and I saw all the people with him. I was like, there's no way the brother's coming back.
Yeah.
So I was prepared mentally.
There we go.
But, you know, the rain kind of messed up all of our hair. So I was so glad when everybody else had hats on because I was like, thank you, Lord. Because I did try to fix it, but there's no fixing it.
You look great.
And we know all of our family watching us, they won't judge us for frizzy hair.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about today, and I definitely want to dive into all the things related to She Shepherd and your book, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But I love how Pastor Troy starts the show with off the top segment, where he just kind of talks about what's been going on in the media, and it's been a really crazy and really intense past few days. And so I wanted to just touch on a few things. You know, if you follow us, I'm sure many of you do because you're on here joining us, but then you probably saw that 6 hostages were murdered in Israel. They had been held in Gaza and for over 11 months. And I was so blessed, first of all, that you and Pastor Troy spoke about this in church on Sunday, because I think now it is more important than ever for churches to be standing with Israel and for people to hear that from their leaders. You know, I mean, it was devastating. These 6 hostages were held for over 11 months. And basically the IDF, the Israeli army, was getting so close to rescuing them that Hamas just shot them all at short range. And it's just freedom was just so close for them. And I was standing in faith, believing in their return. And it truly, I had a really hard weekend, to be honest. And
there is no way as leaders of the body of Christ to be able to stand in the position that God has given us and not make that stand.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to speak for any other pastors, but I know when I stand before the Lord and he asked me, what did you do? I'm going to be able to say I did everything that I could do. You know, these are God's children.
Yeah.
They're his children. And if it was my children and I'm expecting people to stand for my children and they don't, and they stand for the enemy, there's a reckoning that's coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have people in position that you have anointed, that you have called, that have answered the call and said, yes, Lord, I'm on your side, I'm on your team, I'm in your family, and then you neglect that.
Yeah.
That's a scary place to be. You know, we have to be vigilant in the stands that we make, and whether it's politically correct or not, whether it's something that we're like, well, we don't really want to hurt people's feelings, we don't want to offend people, that's what's wrong with the church now, is we've made that stand for too long. And we have to stand up. We have to make hard decisions. We don't have to be ugly to people. We don't have to be mean to people. But we do have to stand with truth. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is truth. He says, Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth. And his truth is harsh sometimes. But that's where life is in those harsh places. And so you have to be able to stand and say, evil is evil.
Yes.
No matter what your political stance is evil. And that is evil.
Yeah,
it is. And it was disgusting. And my heart breaks for all of those families, for those people, for the soldiers that were so close.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I just can't even imagine the mental torture that all of them are going through. And
I mean, Hirsch in particular, he's 23 years old. He's a U.S. citizen. And to me, it's just the fact that like more people aren't talking about it is just shocking to me. I mean, when we had, you know, what was it like a year or two ago when Brittany Griner was in, you know, being held in
Russia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Russia.
Yeah.
And the whole world was an uproar and it was this whole big thing. Mm-hmm. And here we had a U.S. citizen being held and like basically tortured for over 11 months. And I truly believed that I believed he was coming home. Like I believed we were going to get him. And I think it's because his mom, Rachel, was doing so much. I mean, she spoke at the DNC.
Yeah.
She's been like hitting all the media outlets every single day, posting and doing things, raising awareness about him in captivity. And I felt like her hope, like I took that on. Like I had such hope for him and for the others. And so when this happened, it was just so devastating. They were found a kilometer away from where that hostage who was freed last week that they found, he wasn't freed. They rescued him.
Right.
But they were less than a kilometer away. So they were so close. And I'm just like, God, please just like, I don't want this to be the story with the remaining hostages. Like, please in like supernatural ways, redeem this situation. And, you know, meanwhile, that's happening. The funerals are happening in Israel. And then in New York City, we have pro-Palestinian protests taking to the streets the same day as these funerals. And that just to me was shocking. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that this is what we have now here in America. But you got to wonder, like, do these people have any idea what they are truly mm-hmm. protesting?
Well, most of them, I will say, no, they do not. There are some. There are factions of them that do know, and it's just pure evil, but most of them do not. They just want a cause and they just go along with the chaos and they go along with the mantra of whatever. It's the whole mob mentality.
Yeah.
Anytime there's a mob, there's chaos and there's confusion and the devil comes to steal, to kill and destroy. Mm-hmm. And he does it through mobs. People that don't think for themselves, people that just have to be led, and anything that causes destruction, they're there for that. There is no peace with them. And if there's no peace with them, there's no Jesus with them, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
And so you can always tell what a tree is by the fruit that it bears. Absolutely. And when it bears that kind of fruit, I'm sorry, it's evil. Mm-hmm. And you have to call evil, evil. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're doing nobody a favor. We're put on this planet, in this place, to come in and take dominion, to come in and bring the kingdom. That's what Jesus says. Yeah. I want you to go and occupy. I want you to bring my kingdom, my will that's here in heaven. I want it on earth. Amen. And if we as Christians don't do that because we're afraid of offending somebody and we're going to lock ourselves behind the four walls of our church and keep our political, you know, stances to ourselves, what good are we? We've lost our salt. And it says we're no good for nothing when we lose it. Mm. If we lose our savor, we're just, you can trample on us, and which is what's happening with Christianity. And so I think it's a real wake up call to the church and to the body of Christ.
Amen. It kind of feels like in some ways, like a line in the sand is being drawn.
Of course it is.
It's like, you know, we've been kind of like smooth sailing in some ways. And with all of this stuff happening now, it's causing a lot of division. But some of that I feel like is God like sifting out, like who's following me and who's not. Like, you can't be in this gray area.
He says you're either going to be hot or cold. You're going to be hot or cold. You're going to have to make a choice. You have to make a stance. And it says in the end times, you will have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Amen. And Troy wrote a song many, many years ago. Great song. And I wish all of you could hear it. But he doesn't like to play his music for you. Sorry. But at the end of it, he has a place because he's a poet, too. And it says to choose not to choose is to choose. You make a decision.
Yeah.
So good. It is brilliant. Good. It's brilliant. And when he first said that, it took me a while. I was like, what is he saying? And I went, dude, that's so brilliant. Because you can sit there and say, I'm just going to say neutral. There is no neutral.
No.
There's not. Neutral is an illusion. There is no neutral. You're either on one side or you're on the other. You're either on the Lord's side or you're not. Mm-hmm. And I love that whenever the angel, whenever Joshua confronts the angel and he says, whose side are you on? And he goes, I'm not on either side. I'm on the Lord's side.
Amen. Yeah.
And I thought, that's when someone asks me, I don't want to say I'm on your side or I'm on your side. I'm on the Lord's side. Yeah. And where he's at, that's where you're going to find me. And that's as the church where we should be. It's not, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. It is principality and power. And when we can understand that, it makes a lot more sense when you make your stands, because you're not making a stand against the people that are out there. Yeah. You're making a stance against that spirit.
It's not about people, and there will never be a perfect, I mean, you know, we have the elections coming up, and that's another thing we're going to touch on.
Help
I know, Lord, please help us. I mean, I'm, you know, Pastor Troy keeps saying like it, we need to pray the election even happens,
correct,
you know, and that it happens like in a just way. But you know, it's a scary time that we live in, and we are going to have to, as voters, make some type of decision. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to see, okay, we know neither one of these people is perfect. Like, it would be great if we had that perfect candidate, correct, but there is clear, there are clear stances that the Bible upholds, clear values, mm-hmm, that the Bible upholds, and clear people that support that and don't support that. Clear people who pressure Israel and those who support Israel. And to me, I'm like very much a one issue voter. Like, where do you stand on Israel? That is my number one priority, because mm-hmm, to me that affects the future of the world right now.
Yes.
Like, this could be like, we could, I pray we're not, but this could be potentially World War III that we're like sneaking up on. And I don't want to have a weak leader that may or may not support Israel. And if that is the case, like, mm-hmm, I don't know, we may end up in Israel, because we know if we read our Bibles, like the only place that we know that will always remain to be is Israel.
Yeah.
So in some ways, it might be scary to be there, but also that's the place that God's going to protect no matter what, you know?
Yeah. It's very true. And you have to make a stand with God's kingdom.
Amen.
And so for me, you know, Israel is one of my top ones, but life.
Yes.
Who stands for life? Who is standing for life? And I don't want to know your political, want to know, you know, your wishy-washy. I want to know truth, mm-hmm, because, you know, the Lord is very clear on his stand for life.
Yes.
And my stand is very clear on life. And when it comes to family and when it comes to protecting children. And I'm telling you, there is a very huge divide when it comes to children.
Oh, yeah.
Two different personalities. Both of them have their issues that, you know, they're just issues, but they're people.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to look at them as people. But the Lord sets up kings and he takes kings,
amen,
down. But it is our responsibility. It's not just our right, but it's our responsibility as Christians to get out and vote. You cannot sit back and say, well, I just can't vote for either one because I don't agree with them. Well, then you're in disorder yourself, and you are causing part of the chaos and the confusion. And you don't have clean hands, Pilate. You can't wash your hands from this.
No.
You have to make, you're going to make, one way or the other, you're making a stand. It's that whole thing, to choose not to choose is to choose. And the Lord is going to hold you accountable to that. You have to make a decision. You have to pray and ask the Lord.
Amen.
If you don't know what to do because you're like, I'm confused or whatever. Confusion comes from the devil to start with. So if you're confused, you already have issues that you need to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to go to the Lord and say, God, where is your heart? Mm-hmm. Not in the personalities of these two people, but where is life in the mix of all this? Mm-hmm. And he will clearly show you. And you better get out and vote. Don't wait for other people to do it. Don't have your excuses why you can or can't do it. Get out and vote and make your voice known, because the Lord is going to hold us accountable when we stand before him. And he said, you had all of these things that you could have done and you did none of them. You're a wicked servant.
Yeah.
You know,
that is so good.
That should be all of our greatest fear. Mm-hmm. If you need to have a good, healthy fear of the Lord, of you will get in trouble for the decisions you make. He's not playing with you. He's not playing with you. He's not a you know, like people, like Troy likes to say, he's not a hippie Jesus. You know, he's a warrior Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. And when you stand before him, he's a real king. And you're going to stand before a real king, the most righteous and the most holy. And our righteousness is nothing.
No.
It's nothing. And when we stand before him, all we have is his blood.
Amen.
And if you're not covered in that blood, you have nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I have a serious fear of the Lord when it comes to the responsibilities that I have as a leader as I have as a Christian, as I have as a mom, a wife, all of those things. And I don't give anybody else, I don't give my rights away.
I love
that. You're not going to take my rights away from me. I know my rights and I'm going to fight for them. And so,
yeah. Well, I can say as like the new one to the group, it is really refreshing to be sitting under you and Pastor Troy as my leaders. And I like fully and wholeheartedly love and am so proud to say that you guys are my leaders in this time, in this season, in this climate,
so good.
Like socially, politically, all of the things, because you see that, like, you take this responsibility so, so important, and you carry it so highly, and you don't care. You're not being shifted by the chaos around you. It's, you're standing on what does the Bible say? Mm-hmm. And in every way, and that trickles down to everything, whether we're talking about kids, whether we're talking about Israel, whether whatever, it's like you can tell that you guys truly, what does the Bible say? And whether that's politically correct or not, that's what we stand on here as a church.
It doesn't matter. So many Christians and Christian leaders are looking for the like. Mm. Well, Jesus got all the likes when he came in and they were yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. But those same people that like you one day will not like you the next day. And they'll say, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him.
So true.
And it's in the church, it's in the world, it's in that whole mob mentality. So if your whole stance is, I've got to be careful because I don't want people not to like me, you're fighting the wrong battle.
Yeah.
You really, instead of having a fear of man, I love the scripture that says, don't fear the man that can take your life, but the one who can take your soul. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. You need to have a healthy dose of the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
He's the one that we need to worry about if he likes us or not. Not if, you know, whoever likes you. And if you have a great big Facebook following, which I'm not very good at that. So I'm not a social media person.
I was actually thinking we need to start amping up your social media because you do so many amazing things.
You'll have at it. You can have fun, but
going on. We have so much great content, and like literally, I feel like this entire episode already, we could be chopping up every single thing you say for like a new reel because it's just so good. You have so much wisdom, and so we need to step up.
Well, wisdom comes with lots of experience, which means I'm old.
No, you are not old. You're getting more and more beautiful and young in the Lord.
Thank you.
We're so grateful to have you here. And I feel like this is the perfect time to kind of transition into the She Shepherd stuff. Yeah. We had other things we could talk about, but I just feel like it's kind of a natural place to lead into it. And I'm so excited that that you've written this book. And I think anyone who's already listening, mm-hmm. You know, just can sense the wisdom that you have as a shepherd. For how many years in ministry have you been?
Oh, golly. I don't know.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Is it 30 years? I don't know. Mm-hmm.
30 years.
And we've been married for 35. So we've actually been doing ministry longer than that because we did it before we got married. But actually, the actual church, I believe it's really close to 30 years.
And I always say, like, I want a pastor that, I mean, you know, there's so many different pastors, different strokes for different folks, you know, and I think all of, like, young pastors have a place and we need them and all the different types. I know there's so many denominations and churches and that's all important. So not to downplay that, but for me, my family, I look for pastors that have that shepherding quality, that fathering and mothering spirit. And I feel like you really, there's not a greater person that could write a book called The She Shepherd because I have seen that in just the amount of time that I've known you, seen you live that out. So I'm curious, what really even like caused you to write this book in the first place? Like what inspired you to do that?
Simple obedience. There was no want to in there. I always tell the Lord there was two things I don't want to do. I don't want a pastor. I don't want my, not that I didn't want a pastor because that was never even a consideration. I didn't want to marry a preacher and I don't ever want to have anything to do with English. So, you know, English was not my favorite subject in school. It was like, why would you break down a sentence? That makes no sense to me. I don't like to read books unless they have pictures or it's Dr. Seuss. So that there was nothing in me that was like, one day I want to grow up and make, you know, a book. You know, that wasn't, but I heard the Lord speak for a long time. I tried to get out of it by doing kids' books, which was great because lots of pictures and true stories of missions trips. And, you know, it was fun. And then it was a little over a year ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, no, it's time for you to write your book. And I went, what can I possibly write about? I mean, everything to me is normal and because you live it. So your life is normal. And people would always say, you need to put that in a book. And I'm like, why would anybody want to read that? I mean, it's just normal. Mm-hmm. And so last year at the women's conference, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're committing. and you're going to commit in front of all of these ladies that you'll have it out by next year.
Oh my goodness.
And so he's really good because he obviously he knows how my brain works. And if I am given a deadline, by golly gee, I'm going to meet it. Whatever that is, as impossible as it is, that's like one of my provokers is to have a deadline. And so I did it. I spoke it last year at the Women's Conference. I said, by next year, I will have out my book. And Amen. It's coming out. Yay. It'll be here tomorrow.
I know. I can't wait to physically see it.
It's already a beautiful book.
Yeah.
Just from the image. I'm so excited to like get it in my hands.
Yes. Yeah. I'll sign it for you.
Yes.
Thank you. Please. Yes.
Please. People are already commenting that they love the artwork and everything. Yes. And she will be having book signings at the
I will. Friday and Saturday. The 6th and the 7th at 7 p.m.
Yes. By the way, we might as well do a shout out for the Women's Conference. Let's do like a little promo for that.
It's going to be so good.
So we have, go ahead.
Rebecca. Okay. So we have 200 books only for the Women's Conference. So come. It's a free conference. You could sign up at Open Door Experience. /events or just go to Open Door Experience, click on events, and then all our events come up there. It's going to be this Friday, this Saturday. We are so excited, the 6th and the 7th. And Pastor Leanna has some, I won't spill the beans, but she has some cool things there with her book. Not only her book, I'm excited for everything else that is
like
coming.
The merch and
the
stuff.
The merch and all that. So I am
really
so excited. Please invite your family, invite your neighbors. This is for everyone where we could just love on each other. Compliment each other. I'm just so excited for the theme church because I grew up in church. So it just takes me way back of my grandma's church, my mom's church, growing up in church. So we are so excited for Women's Conference this week.
What are you most excited about, Pastor
Oh, Anna? Wow. I'm excited about all of the friends that come from all around the world.
Yes.
I get to be here. So I'm excited to be able to see all them. I'm excited. Rita Springer is going to be with us.
Yes.
And Anna Golden. It's going to be amazing.
They've got love a concert worship. Thursday night.
They do. Yes. And Rita will be speaking as well on Saturday.
Yes. Oh, awesome.
She has an incredible testimony too. And there is just...
There you go. Thursday night.
It's going to be so good, guys. It is just going to be so good. But really, and then we have a special guest coming in from one of our homes in Belize, Heather. Mm-hmm. Her testimony is incredible. It's just going to be just a time of encouragement, a time of provoking people to jealousy, of going, okay, if they can do that, then I can do that. And that's what I want people to see. It doesn't take an extraordinary person. It just takes a person that's willing to say yes.
Yes.
And your yes combined with his yes makes the impossible possible.
Wow.
And so I'm super excited about people coming and just women just being encouraged, just being encouraged of where you are, who you are, and really having a true understanding of what the church is and who the church is. Because the church is a person. It's not a what. It's not a building. It's not a place.
Yes.
It's a who. Amen. And we are the church. So I'm super excited to unpack that.
That's already.
Oh, that's going to be good.
That's going to be your Pastor Leanna. It's going to be good.
Miss Connie, what are you looking forward to most about the Women's Conference?
I am looking forward to hearing from Pastor Leanna. That's always my favorite. So that's what I'm looking most forward to, I guess. And I'm going to be helping out with the merch.
Okay.
So girl. I'm excited to just get to see people and hear from them and just, you know, get to meet face to face with people. I've probably seen their names online a whole bunch.
Just Connie has her own fan club.
I know, she's going to get swarmed. We need to have security.
She does need security.
Frank,
where are you? I'm excited for that. And I'm excited for merch because I know that Hunter's going to be like, can my pocketbook please be safe this weekend? And I'll say no.
I see some comps coming your way. Miss Connie.
I know. If you're working the table.
That's right.
Like I'm working Rita's table.
Oh.
That's all right.
Okay.
Her merch also is really cute. We were looking at it the other night. Yeah. I'm like, oh, she has some really good merch.
She does. Yes. And Janet Hume will kind of be here.
Oh,
my God. Oh, we have people from all over coming. It's gonna be
it's gonna be the best.
It's gonna be and the perfect time to launch your book, She Shepherd.
Wow.
Every year gets better and better. We think, wow, what can God do next year? And he does it and we're like, whoa, did not see that one coming.
Yeah.
So when you sat down to write the book, what did you feel like on your, I'm just so curious because I've never written a book and I can't imagine what goes into that. Is it like, do you feel like God just gives you like, okay, this is the topic or just, do you just start writing? Like, how does it even come about?
I think it's different for everybody. And one of the challenges that I have, and I tell people this all the time, and I don't know that they really comprehend it because he's just so funny, but Troy really is brilliant. Like the man's brilliant and there's nothing he can't do. And so when he goes to write a book, he will sit there for hours and just, oh, so now comes a book. And I'm like, well,
you're like, how
that doesn't really work for me. Yeah. And so I was asking him, how do I do this? And he was like, well, this is how I do. I was like, oh, that doesn't work for me. You know? And so many times we do that. We try to get a formula.
Totally.
And, but then it's not natural.
Wow.
And so I had to pray about it because the Lord kept saying, and my deadline was coming. If I was going to have it out by the conference, they were like, okay, you have a deadline. You have a deadline. It's like, okay, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Well, there's a beautiful lady that works here, and she helps people write their books. And I was talking to her, and she said, I really believe the Lord has assigned me to you. And I said, okay, this is what I need. I can actually write the book. I'm not good with formats. I'm not good with knowing how to lay things out and making sure that it makes sense. And I don't like breaking down sentences, obviously. And, you know, and my grammar is probably not the best. And she said, well, let's just sit down and let's take one story at a time. So
that's cool.
I started to do that. And I sat with my kids, my girls. And I said, if you had your favorite story that you know of me, what would you want me to tell other people? What wisdom would you want if you could have it that you didn't know? And so I just let them pull the stories out of me. And those are the stories that I wrote. So, yeah, I had to get, it was collaborative because I was like, I don't even know what is my stories. Cause like I said, they're all normal to me and I think they're normal to everybody. But so I just asked people, what is your favorite story? And, you know, and then I asked the Lord, which ones of these? Cause there's a lot living with you. Yeah. There's a lot. We probably didn't tell many of those stories, but
like, that's for another book.
For another book.
That's going to be an expensive one because it's going to be big. but no, I just prayed about it and I said, Lord, I really need to know the wisdom because I don't want to just write a book to have another book because that's silly to me. And I'm not a huge reader. So I was like, okay, Lord, I need a book that is going to actually impact people and not just, oh, that was great.
Yeah.
You know, what can you take something out? Can you get a practical application out of this? Or is this, oh yeah, that's another nice story. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure it was something that was impactful, that was very genuine and very just simple. I love simple solutions to complicated problems. And we tend to try to make ourselves look smarter. We complicate things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, that was not helpful to me at all. And that was a waste of my time and my money. So the stories in there are real stories of real experiences and the good, the bad, and the ugly and how we made it through them and the decisions that we made and the lessons that God taught me through those things. That's so awesome.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So I'm reading your title and then at the bottom it says positioning yourself for promotion from the field to the palace.
Yes.
Can you spill a little bit about that? I was like,
the story of Ruth is my favorite story in the whole Bible. I love Ruth. And, you know, Ruth's story was obviously that she was a Moabite. So they were unclean. They were not friendly to the Jewish people and their culture because they served so many other gods. They served pagan gods. And it was just, but God did this beautiful story through her life that, you know, she wound up marrying Naomi's son. And then, you know, with the whole story where her husband died, but she stuck with Naomi. There was something different in Ruth than what was in anybody else. And so Ruth stuck with her and Ruth took care of Naomi and she worked in the fields and she would glean the fields because the Jewish people had a standard that they had to live by where they would leave the corners of the fields for the widows and for the poor. Mm. And so she would go out there and she would work. This beautiful young woman that could have married somebody else. Mm-hmm. She didn't have to stay. It wasn't part of her culture, you know, to be committed to Ruth. Mm-hmm. Her culture was very pagan. She could have done whatever she wanted to do. And she was beautiful. And so she didn't. She stuck with her mother-in-law. She was faithful in a time where Ruth was not a very happy person. Mm. And I love that about her, that it wasn't the circumstances. It wasn't because it was easy. It wasn't because, oh, this is going to be a great life. No, she had to live with the lady who had lost her husband, her two sons, and was miserable. She even said, I'm changing my name to Misery. You know, I mean, she just changed her name. And Ruth was like, no, I'm going to love you through this. I know, I see your God in you.
Wow.
And she had that commitment and she had the heart for the Lord. Huh. So she did that. She gleaned the fields. Wow. And then people took notice of her. It's kind of like Esther, you know, she went in with this humble and this meekness and it wasn't a haughtiness. It wasn't a look at me. It wasn't a I'm better than everybody. It was a true meekness that we as women should walk in. And because of that, you know, she caught the attention of Boaz, the Redeemer.
Yeah.
And he owned the fields. Mm-hmm. So by the time Boaz got her and found her and was like, okay, yeah, this is who I'm going to marry. There's a whole story that goes with it. When he did and he redeemed her, the fields that owned her that she had to work in as a slave, she now owned those fields.
So that's
so she went
crazy.
From the field to the palace, literally the palace. And so she owned those fields and she owned all that was all her property. Wow. That was all her. And God does that for us in our walk if we're faithful.
Amen.
And so just one of my, just the highlight of my favorite stories. That's just I love her. She, so when good. I get to heaven, that's who I want to see Jesus and I want to see Ruth.
Yeah, I think Esther as well. I mean, I love Esther, Ruth too, but Esther is always someone too. Because I always pray for supernatural favor, not like what you just said. It wasn't that she was like full of herself or possessed this like, I'm so
a genuine
this or that.
Kindness.
A supernatural favor can to me, I mean, it can just really take you leaps and bounds further than anything within yourself could, because it's truly from the Lord.
And Esther's story is a story of redemption and trafficking.
Yeah.
She was sex trafficked. Yeah. She was chosen because she was beautiful, and she was a child.
I never thought about that.
She was an orphan.
Yeah.
She was a child, and she was trafficked because of her beauty.
Correct.
It had nothing to do with he loved her. He, so he didn't know anything about her. They came after her because she was going to be a sex slave, like all the rest of the concubines were all sex slaves.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was the redeemer of her people.
Yeah.
And Ruth was too. It was that bloodline that Jesus came through was Ruth. God says, oh no, what they call unclean. I love that. Whatever they call unclean, if I call it clean, it's clean.
It's clean.
God is so good. Yeah. I have a lot of superheroes in the Bible.
I'm so ready to go deep on this and behind the veil so you could like tell us a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's going to be so
for sure.
Good.
I guess that was a good time to go behind the veil. What do you think?
Yeah. I think it's great.
Okay. I know that I have so many more questions. And if for everyone who's watching online, please submit your questions for Pastor Leanna. Now is your chance. We've got to sit down with her. We have her all to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so you can submit your questions right there and we'll be tracking them. Rebecca's over here watching.
I'm watching.
She's going to make note of those questions that you have. And before we go behind the veil, Rebecca, why don't you do our announcements? Because I forgot to do them earlier.
Yeah, we don't want to miss that.
This job is not easy.
No, it's not.
I forgot to do them earlier. So okay. let's go through those announcements real
quick. Don't forget, we want to do a little shout out. We have South Africa. We have Fort Worth. We have Iowa. We have Canada. We have Georgia. So please comment, share, let us know where you're from. When you do that, you're not just, hey, I'm just going to, it's whatever. No, you are being a media missionary. And by commenting, liking, posting, sharing, you are making a difference. And you could, that's a way that you can partner with us, with TBM, with Spark. By doing that, you are making a difference. We want to do a shout out to Kirk Morgan, to Gary Hicks. We have Reese in the house. We have Amber and our ODX family. We have Debbie Smith, Lisa Bennett, Jacob Gomez. Thank you guys for partnering with us. Thank you for making a difference. Thank you for taking a stand and standing with us in these difficult times, how Pastor Leanna was talking and Ms. Lovely Shea about all the different, you could be right or left. There's no right or left. There's only the Lord's side. And this is a time that we could be Jesus, love our neighbor like ourselves. And that's one of the greatest commandments. And I was just reading that and I was crying because like, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Yeah. I want to be on your side. I don't want to just see the news and be like, be driven by this. I want to be directed by you, led by you. And I think one good thing to close this behind the veil is that you and Pastor Troy have such great discernment. And that's something that I like, Lord, I want to be able to be led by your spirit. I don't just want to be led because she said, he said, but something that our mama and our dad teach us is to know what, I wrote my notes right here. It's good and evil. And by having discernment, you get to discern is understanding what is good and what is evil. Mm-hmm. And we stand by that all the time. And you preach it and you live it and you show it. So take a stand with us. We're about to go behind the veil. And if you're like, what is behind the veil? That is you partnering with us through stage 2, right, Connie? And stage 3 at odx.tv. And if you are partnering with us, stay seated. Like Pastor Troy says, don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
We're going to be on odx.tv. And for all our YouTube and Facebook, if you have not signed up, please join us. You are making a difference when you sign up and you join us and rescuing and being the rescuer.
Yeah.
Amen.
And if you're watching us on YouTube and Facebook and you need prayer, we have an incredible call center. Mm-hmm. I love how Pastor Troy always shouts us out because it is such a special thing that we have is a 24/7 call center. You can call right now 877-413-0888. We have people there waiting to pray with you. If you feel it on your heart to donate, to get involved in what we're doing, Amen. You can do that there as well. So please do not hesitate. Save that number. If you get woken up in the middle of the night and you're plagued by a spirit that is heavy on you, you can mm-hmm. literally call that number, and it's people here in house. You're not calling a call center in another country. No, this is our real family. People. We have real people there that are there to pray with you, and they do not take their job lightly. And same with us as well. So we are really excited to go behind the veil. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're joining us on Facebook and YouTube, thank you for joining us. And if you are on ODX, we'll see you in just a second. Behind the Veil.